Welcome to Film Fragments, a podcast where we take fragments of an actor, director, and genre and tell you our favorites from their catalog. My name is Brian Suffield. I'm your host, and I'm very excited to welcome you guys to this week's episode of Film Fragments, where today we're going to be talking about our favorite film starring Oscar winner Anne Hathaway in honor of Eileen hitting theaters this weekend. Anne Hathaway, Oscar-winning actress, an actor that I've grown up with, literally grown up with. I've been a fan of her for a very long time, especially in a household where Princess Diaries and Ella Enchanted were watched on loop by my sister. But she's grown into one of the best actors I think working today. A very versatile talent, someone who's tackled all these different genres, comedy, drama, musical, action, thriller, horror, musical. She's done it all, and it's so impressive to see the range that Anne Hathaway has brought to her career these last 20 plus years. And I'm very excited to delve into her career today with today's guests. Our guest today is Josh Parham. He is a contributor over at Next Best Picture and the Awards Watch, and he's also a member of Chicago Indie Critics. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I can't wait to talk about this really great actress today.
I'm very excited to have you on. I cannot wait to delve into the career of Anne Hathaway. And before we get into doing that, I would just love to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself, talk about what you do, what got you into film, and why you love it so much.
Well, I mean, I think when I look back on it, probably the inception point was when I was 6 years old and went to see Mars Attacks in theaters. And that's it's a true story, that is the movie that turned me into a cinephile. And I've been in it ever since. It really has been like the major focus of everything that I do. And, you know, even during the day job, I'm just thinking about what movies I can see later and write about it and talk about it. And it's gotten me to be introduced to so many wonderful people too. And that's amazing as well. I always love having conversations with people about movies and all of that subject matter. And of course, you know, the award season, that's what I feel like I'm primarily known for, but movies just in general, I just absolutely love it. And I just am so passionate about getting to have those conversations with people.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same way. I go about my day doing my J job and everything, but all I'm really thinking about in the long haul is what movie am I going to be watching after work? What movie am I going to be watching this weekend? I just want to talk to people about movies, not the boring Joe Schmo job that I do. Like, I don't care about that. I just want to talk about movies. And that's kind of why I have this podcast and everything, to talk to people like you who love film just like me and share our passion for the craft on display. And, you know, Anne Hathaway is a very, very interesting topic because, like I said at the top, she's done practically everything and she's still pretty young. She's only in her early 40s, doesn't look a day over 25, if I must say so myself. And she continues to pump out really great performances and performances that are so drastically different from one another. I love that she could be the lovable protagonist, but that she could every once in a while play someone who is very fucked up and over the top and all over the place. I really have a lot of respect for Anne Hathaway as a performer. And I also think she's such a down-to-earth human being, too. As someone who has met her in person, God, what a sweetheart. Truly, what a delight. So going into Anne Hathaway, again, like I said, she's had such an interesting career for a very long time. I mean, she's been acting since she was a kid, and she solidified herself as one of the best actors to look out for. Why do you think a lot of people get excited whenever they see Anne Hathaway's name attached to a project? And what makes you such a fan of Anne Hathaway?
Well, I think what I'm really fascinated with Anne Hathaway is that she's just such a committed performer. You know, she is so invested in the characters that she plays. And I think that's what I really find so fascinating about her, is that good or bad, you know, highbrow or lowbrow, she's always going to be invested in those characters that she's playing. And I think for some people that can be a little bit off-putting, as you know, especially I remember the dark period between, you know, her winning her Oscar and only just a couple years now in the past that it seems to have really turned around. But I think that she's just so committed, and that's what I really love about her, that, you know, no matter the project, she's always going to deliver 100%, and I think that's what makes her so fascinating and such a really interesting person to talk about.
Yeah, it's really incredible to see how like I keep on saying, how far she's come as an actor and how much she's evolved as an actor, and how, like you said, she always commits to the bit. Anytime she's in something, she always commits to it, whether it's, you know, losing weight or performing her heart out to a song or doing some accent that may be incredibly questionable. I love Anne Hathaway. I think she's a really stunning performer, not only looks wise, but I think her ability as an actor is really exceptional. And I find it so incredible, again, that she's done so much and she's still, I feel, is she's so young. Like I said, she's only in her early 40s and she's done practically everything. And it's really incredible to see what she brings to her roles and how she brings them to life and what have you. And I'm just so, I have to say that this was not an easy list for me to put together, because while I haven't seen everything that Anne Hathaway has done, it was really hard picking five films that I love from her. And it just comes to show how she's done a lot of good things. She's obviously had her fair share of duds. I mean, every actor has, but I really like where her career has gone. And I agree, you know, after she won the Oscar for Les Mis, a lot of people were looking at her in the wrong way. And then it wasn't until a few years ago where she really started bouncing back and gaining all that respect that she had prior to winning that Academy Award. So I'm glad to see that she's back on that track where she's may not necessarily be doing all winners, but she still is gaining all this respect from the public eye. And I just say, without further ado, let's get into our top five Anne Hathaway films list. So, Josh, what is your number five favorite Anne Hathaway film of all time?
Okay, so I think I got to qualify something a little bit first. Because the movie I'm going to talk about is, I like it for her. I just want to be clear about this. Like, I kind of looked at this list as like, this is an opportunity to talk about Anne Hathaway and her movies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she doesn't always make great films. Right. But even when they're not great, I love her in it. So that was my mentality with this list. So I want to qualify that before I talk about this first movie. Because the first movie I'm going to say is Serenity.
Yeah.
Now, Serenity is not a good movie. I fully recognize that. But Anne Hathaway is giving the most camptastic performance that you have ever seen. It's over the top. It's crazy. She is asked to do these ridiculous line readings. You know, famously she says, "Choke me, daddy." And it's wild. It's incredible. And she's committing to a wild performance in a movie that really she shouldn't be doing it for. Like, she's giving so much to this film and so much to this material that doesn't require it. But it really is an example of what I love about her so much, is that she commits to the bit. She is willing to put all of her effort into this crazy, nonsensical character in this bad movie, but she is so captivating. And because of that, because she's able to make this not very good movie so watchable just by her performance, I just think that that deserves a shout out. So it's not a great movie for sure. I would never argue that. But I think what she does in it is a great example of her talent and why I love her so much.
So I've actually never seen Serenity. I've always heard all these things around the film Twitter sphere about how wild and bonkers it is. And I remember when it was announced that she and McConaughey were making another movie together, everyone was so excited because everyone loved their chemistry in Interstellar. So they're like, oh, they're going to be doing something completely different from that. And yeah, I just heard all these wild reactions from it. And it's made me want to watch it more. And I'm not going to lie, I almost watched this last night. I'm not even joking when I say this. I almost watched it, but I'm just like, I can't do it. I'm just not in the mood for like a so bad that it's good movie. I'm just not in that mood. But now that you have it in your top five, now I have to watch it right away.
And again, I'm not saying the movie is good, because it's not. But I do think her performance is, dare I say, exceptional. It is. It makes it a watchable movie because of all of the weird choices that she makes. But it's so captivating. Right. And she's the reason to watch it for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely have to give it a watch for sure. So number five for me is a completely different movie from Serenity. I have, it's so funny because this particular filmmaker, I'm not exactly a fan of the genre of films that this filmmaker is best known for. However, and every time she's made a film, I've liked or loved it. So number five, I'm going to go with The Intern, directed by Nancy Meyers. Mm. I am unabashedly a huge Nancy Meyers fan, which is something I never thought I would ever say in my life. But literally, I love practically everything that I've seen from her, which is pretty much everything. Like Parent Trap, I mean, iconic film from my childhood. Then The Holiday, one of my favorite Christmas movies. Something's Gotta Give is great. It's Complicated is great. What Women Want isn't my favorite thing in the world, but it's still kind of good because it has that Nancy Meyers charm to it. But this movie is the only time where she hasn't really had romance as the focus of the movie. Really, this is a buddy comedy, not your conventional buddy comedy, but it's, you know, a unique spin on the buddy comedy. So basically, Robert De Niro stars in the movie, and he's a 70-year-old widower who had just lost his wife and everything, and he retired from his job recently, and he decides to apply for a job as an intern for this fashion website, which is run by Anne Hathaway's character, who is a severe workaholic. She doesn't really have a lot of friends. She doesn't really do much outside of work. Work is like her baby, essentially, when she has a child and everything. But the dynamic between the two of them is really, really wonderful. And this was, to me, the first film that she did post-Oscar win, where I feel like a lot of people started liking Anne Hathaway again, because like you brought up before, there was a weird period where people were like, I don't really vibe with Anne Hathaway after winning that Oscar for Les Mis, regardless of how one feels about, you know, the performance and everything. But I love The Intern. I think it's super charming and wholesome. It has everything that you love about a Nancy Meyers film. It's probably my least favorite film that she's done, aside from What Women Want. It's the one that I've seen the least. I've only seen it once, but I remember really, really enjoying it. And I thought it was so cool seeing Robert De Niro in a role like this as well, because Robert De Niro has done his fair share of films outside of the crime gangster genre and films that are for, you know, families and comedies and everything. Obviously, the Meet the Parents films and everything, he's done those. But I legit remember when this was announced that Robert De Niro was going to be starring in a Nancy Meyers film, and I'm like, he is obviously just doing this for a paycheck. He's obviously just doing this just for the money and everything. But he was great in the movie. You could tell that he actually really enjoyed working on this. And I really, again, I love the chemistry between him and Anne Hathaway. I thought they worked off each other beautifully. And Anne Hathaway is really, really great in this. And it's not the only film on this list today where she works at a company that is involved in fashion. So stay tuned for that, everybody. So The Intern is my number five. Are you going to pass, or is this not on your list?
This one is not on my list because I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But I have heard very good things about it. It was one of those instances where the trailer just didn't really look that great to me when I first saw it. And it was like, I think I can maybe pass on this one. So I do want to see it. I would love to check it out one day, but I just haven't had the time and opportunity to see it yet. But I definitely do want to.
Do you like Nancy Meyers films?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I'm not avoiding it because I don't like her at all. You know, it's just, it wasn't a great trailer, I will say.
No, I agree. I was very turned off by the trailer as well. And then my parents went to go see the movie when they came out. And they're like, oh, you got to see this movie. And I'm like, I'll catch it when it comes to HBO or something. And I did. And I'm like, oh, man, this is actually quite good. Stupid trailers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sometimes it's not good to believe the market, and sometimes it is, but other times it isn't. Don't let the trailer fool you sometimes.
Yes.
But yeah, The Intern is very, very good. It's very good. It's, again, not my favorite Nancy Meyers film. I would say it's lower tier, but that's not like a diss towards the movie. It's still very good, but you know, when you make The Parent Trap and The Holiday and Something's Gotta Give, you're not gonna top those. Like, those are arguably to me the best films he's done. So now going into our number fours, what is your pick?
My number four is another movie that I wouldn't say is like one of my favorites, but I love her in it, and that is The Dark Knight Rises. I would actually say that this is my least favorite of the three Nolan Batman movies. And in fact, might even say it's my least favorite Nolan film overall. It's still watchable, though. I do like some of it. And the big part of what I do love about it is Anne Hathaway, who has a really difficult task where she's got to follow one of the most iconic presentations of the character of Catwoman with what Michelle Pfeiffer did. And it's like, that's a tall order. And she makes it so, you know, seductive and mysterious and funny at the same time. She's got so many great quips that she just, you know, lands in every scene. And I really do love the screen presence that she brings in that. And I would even say it is the superior 2012 performance and from her. And I know that is the year that she gave her Oscar winning performance. And I think that this is better than what she did in Les Mis. I think that she's so much of an entertaining and captivating screen presence in this movie that it makes up for the moments of the film that I'm not like really into. When I get drawn back into it, it's because of whatever she's doing. And that to me is a mark of a great actor, that even when a movie itself is not working, you stick with it because of whatever they're doing on screen. And I think that she's just brilliant in the film.
So fittingly enough, this is also my number four. I'm a big fan of Dark Knight Rises. I agree. It's the weakest of the Batman Nolan films. I mean, I feel like that's the consensus with this movie. Yeah. It's like The Dark Knight, and then Batman Begins, and then this. I mean, although some people prefer this over Batman Begins, which I totally understand. But yeah, big fan of The Dark Knight Rises. Been a proud defender of the movie since it came out 11 years ago. And Anne Hathaway's Catwoman, I was so, not that I wasn't supportive of this cast, and I'm like, really? This is who we're going to get to play Catwoman, the girl from Princess Diaries? I don't know about that. But I walked out of the movie just being like, oh my God, she kicked so much ass in that role. I mean, she did literally what Catwoman's supposed to do. She was a Lauren. She was badass. She was funny, through some great clips. She was so stunning. Oh my God, like so incredibly gorgeous. And you know, you brought up how she had the impossible task of following up Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman, but it was also a gamble at the same time, because she also had to follow up Halle Berry's Catwoman, which was notorious for being probably the worst Catwoman of all time. So she had a lot to live up there, and I love what she brings to this movie. I think she is so exceptional. She is absolutely out of this world. And I love the movie, too. I think it is a great conclusion to the trilogy. Sure, there's some questions that I'm like, okay, how did that happen and how did this happen? But you know what? You can't expect Nolan to answer everything. That's just who Christopher Nolan is and what have you. But I really like the film a lot. And it's one of the most surprising castings ever. Like, he cast Anne Hathaway to play Catwoman and then subverted everyone's expectations. And I have to commend Christopher Nolan for that. And I would like Anne Hathaway to do more action. I feel like she could pull it off if she did more action. She hasn't done as much as she should, but I really love everything that she brought to this movie. And I would agree that this is the better performance and the better film from 2012. Although, I have to just get this out of the way. I don't hate that movie. I actually really don't hate that movie. I'm a musical theater fan at heart, which may shock people that I like the movie as much as I do. I don't know. I dig it for what it is. It's flawed as fuck, but I like it. And I liked her in it a lot. But yeah, this is the superior Anne Hathaway film from 2012. And it's my number four.
Yeah, I do hate Les Mis, so I'll go on the record with that one. I hate that movie. She's fine in it, but I think this is a much better use of her talent.
She's also in the movie a lot more here than she is in that one.
True, true. Yes, but she doesn't give the emotional trailer moment that everybody remembers, but it's a better performance in Dark Knight Rises for me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, it is kind of crazy how she went from being in a comic book movie to, like, a movie musical in the same year. And, like, that same period, it's just wild that she was able to bounce from this to that. And you know what? I just want to say, I do hope that she does another movie musical down the road, because, I mean, she could belt a tune. I think she is really exceptional. And I hope that, you know, down the road, if she's given the opportunity to be in the movie musical again, her talents are utilized a lot better. And the screenplay is better, and the director
one would
is better,
hope, and everything's for better. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So now going into our number threes, what is your pick?
Okay, now we can talk about movies that I actually do like. because my number three, fittingly, is her very next collaboration with Christopher Nolan, and that is Interstellar. I mean, you knew I got to talk about Interstellar. It's my favorite Christopher Nolan film. I'm very adamant about how much I love that film. And, you know, I know her performance is rather divisive, for sure. I totally get it. But I still think that she is really good in this film. And even the speech that everybody complains about, you know, the how do you define love speech, essentially, I think is, for that character, makes a lot of sense as a scientist, you know, somebody who doesn't really know how to quantify emotion. I think it's great for her. And that movie itself is just, oh, it's so emotional and epic and grandiose, and I get swept up in it every time. And I think it's a masterpiece, and I absolutely love that film so, so much.
So Interstellar is not on my list. It is, It's probably right outside the top five for me, although I will admit, and this is very heartbreaking for me to admit, I have only seen Interstellar in its entirety one time, and that was when it came out almost 10 years ago. I've watched clips of it since throughout the years. I mean, of course, the scene that is definitely talked about the most in the movie, where he's watching his children grow up and he's crying. One of the best crying scenes of the past 10 years, for sure. Like, McConaughey, honestly, I kind of expected him to not get nominated for that movie, but there was a part of me that was like, man, I like this performance a lot more than the film that he just won the Oscar for. So, like, You should have nominated him for this Academy. Like, come on. Seriously, it's ridiculous. But, yeah, it's incredible what Nolan was able to do. I mean, it's 3 hours long, almost 3 hours long. The scope of it is absolutely breathtaking, and I really liked Anne Hathaway's performance a lot in the movie. I thought she was very good in the film. She wasn't the performance that I ran home about. Like, that wasn't the performance I talked about. It was McConaughey, Chastain, and then is it good to spoil this? I mean, the movie's almost 10 years old. Is it okay?
I think most people know about the movie now. Yeah.
So, like, Matt Damon, when he comes in the movie, it's insane. I don't know. I thought it was very cool seeing him in this, and I loved his performance. It was a little over the top, but it was also kind of a prequel in the sense to The Martian, because The Martian came out the following year, which was about another Matt Damon character stuck in space. So, you know, it all worked out in the long run. But yeah, Interstellar is a great pick. I am a fan of that one for sure. I think it is very exceptional, and I'm very much overdue for a rewatch. I did a whole Christopher Nolan marathon earlier this year when Oppenheimer came out, and somehow I didn't get around to watching this, and now I realize that I'm really doing myself a huge disservice by not sitting down and watching this, and I cannot believe that this movie is about to turn 10. I remember 10 years ago when that first teaser came out, I was sitting in the theater watching the friggin' Hobbit 2, and the trailer came out. It's like, oh, 1 year from now, and I'm like, oh my god, cinema's back, baby. But yeah, Interstellar, very stellar film. And my number three is The Devil Wears Prada, the other fashion movie that Anne Hathaway is involved with. So, again, this if you put this movie out in front of me, it's not my kind of movie on paper. I'm just like, oh, this just doesn't seem like my kind of movie in the slightest. I like the cast, Meryl Streep and Emily Blunt and Stanley Tucci. But I'm like, oh, I don't really care. And I tried watching this years ago, and I'm just like, nah, this isn't for me, fam. And then just a few nights ago, I finally gave it another watch, and I thought it was great. I really loved it a lot. And, you know, Anne Hathaway, you know, is our protagonist, and she's, you know, a recent college graduate who moves to New York City to pursue a career in writing, but she's given the opportunity to be the assistant to a very powerful fashion magazine editor, played, of course, by Meryl Streep, delivering a great Meryl Streep performance as always. Miranda Presley is what a character, truly fantastic character. And, you know, throughout the movie, Anne Hathaway's character, Andy, goes through all these trials and tribulations where she's trying to be good at her job, but she's also trying to, you know, keep her relationship afloat. I always forget that her boyfriend in this movie is played by Vincent Chase from Entourage. I'm like watching the movie in its beginning, and I'm like, why do I know that guy? Oh my God, it's Vincent Chase. And he's literally just playing Vincent Chase, essentially. It's, you know, he's playing the cook, whatever, but really he's just Vincent Chase in disguise. I can't think of him in any other role besides that. But I want to give a shout out to the supporting cast, particularly Emily Blunt. Emily Blunt is awesome in this. She is so great in this. I would have loved if she got some love for this movie. And Stanley Tucci, good God, chewing up the scenery, understanding the assignment as Nigel. What a character. Truly, what a performance. He's so great. He's always a great supporting player in any movie that he's in. And I love him in this. But Anne Hathaway, she's very delightful. She brings that charm that you love to see from Anne Hathaway. But I also just think that the movie itself is really delightful and endearing. Sure, you kind of see where it's going. You have an idea of where it's going pretty much from the beginning. It's not the most on-the-edge-of-your-seat movie out there. It's not the most twisty and turny movie that you'll see out there either. But I really, really like this one a lot. Borderline love it. And I think it's cool that Meryl got an Oscar nomination for this role, but then again, what hasn't she gotten an Oscar nomination for? I mean, she's been nominated for practically everything. That woman is a monster, and she's great at what she does. And yeah, I love this movie way more than I anticipated. And it's a very popular movie. I feel like if you ask people what their favorite Anne Hathaway film is, this is definitely going to be one that comes up in the conversation frequently. I mean, this, Princess Diaries, maybe Dark Knight Rises, who knows? But yeah, I really enjoyed The Devil Wears Prada. And yeah, it's great. Again, I'm not a guy that cares about fashion at all, but the fact that I could love a movie like this with this subject says a lot. So yeah, The Devil Wears Prada is my number three. So are you going to pass, or is this not on your list?
It is not on my list. It probably would just miss out for me because I was just so desperate to talk about Serenity. but you know what? I mean, the thing about The Devil Wears Prada also is that it's a movie that I think it's kind of easy to forget that Anne Hathaway is in it, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, she's really good, and I do think that she's a good kind of anchor to it, but you do remember, like, Meryl Streep, obviously, more. I think Emily Blunt as well. There are some more other, like, flamboyant elements to that film, and I do think Anne Hathaway kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. Yeah. Again, a good performance, but just not what you take away from that movie. But she's still really good, and yeah, it's just so, so damn entertaining. It's just such a fun movie to watch.
It is. And it is crazy, too, that, like, you know, you watch this movie, you would never think that this would be like an Oscar-nominated film. But the fact that Meryl got nominated for this, I mean, like, it's a great performance. It is awesome. But I never pictured this as like an Oscar-caliber performance. But it is a really strong Meryl Streep performance. But again, when isn't she good? She's always good. Like, you never watch a movie with Meryl Streep and go, Meryl Streep was one of the worst things about this movie. To an extent, she's usually one of the best things about whatever she's in. I mean, you could say that, like, oh yeah, she's been in The Dud. I know everybody hates Don't Look Up and what have you, but, you know, everyone's like, oh, Don't Look Up is really bad, and maybe Meryl was really bad in it. I thought she was entertaining in it for what she had to do, for what it was. I liked her in that movie, but I'm not saying it's one of her best performances of all time. It's no Devil Wears Prada, of course, but yeah, I like the movie, and I echo your sentiment about how it is unfortunate that while Anne Hathaway is really good, she definitely gets brushed aside a lot compared to Meryl and Emily, and really, Stanley Tucci is so fucking good in this. He's so good in this. And he should have gotten his first Oscar nomination for this, personally. Like, I liked his performance in Lovely Bones, but let's be honest, this is the superior performance.
And well, that's kinder than movie. I can say about Lovely Bones and his performance in that.
Like, not only is this just this the superior performance, it's also the far superior film. It's the far superior film. Stanley Tucci, while he's proud of his performance in Lovely Bones, he hates that people remember him for that because he didn't enjoy playing that role because it was just so disgusting. And it was, and he did a kick-ass job in it, but, you know, this is, this really might be the my favorite Tucci performance. I really think this might take the spot for that. It's tough to say, but...
Yeah. It's a good movie, and Anne Hathaway has the unfortunate task of being like the straight man. You know, she's got to be the center that holds everything together, which is a necessary role. It's not always fun. It's not always the most memorable, but it is needed for this type of movie.
Absolutely. And now we transition into our top two. And it's so interesting because I have no idea what route Josh is going to go towards with his top two. I mean, he could literally, I mean, he claims that now he's getting to the movies that he loves, but he could throw in another super guilty pleasure type of movie in his top two. So we'll have to see. So Josh, tell us your second favorite Anne Hathaway film of all time.
My second one is Brokeback Mountain, which I just think is like an incredible movie. I mean, that's such a basic thing to say, obviously. Like, yeah, I loved Brokeback Mountain. What a shock. You invited the gay man on and he loved that movie. But, you know, it's incredible. And it's yet another one where I feel like Anne Hathaway does unfortunately get sort of lost in the shuffle a little bit. People think about the other three members of that kind of core ensemble more than her. But I do like her very much. I think that she has nice chemistry with Jake Gyllenhaal. I think that that scene where she's on the phone at the end is just incredible. Like, it's such a wonderful moment where she's playing with so many different emotions at the same time and you're trying to figure it out of what she's dealing with. And it's great, but obviously it's such a landmark movie for kind of gay cinema and those performances from Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger. And yeah, I mean, there's very little I can say that people haven't already talked about with Brokeback Mountain because it means so much to so many people. But yeah, I think it's just an incredible piece of cinema and with a really good performance from Anne Hathaway that I do think is a little underrated for most people.
Yeah, this would be my number six. It's right outside the list for me. I adore Brokeback Mountain as well. It's exceptional. It's really incredible. It's maybe, I don't know if it's my favorite thing that Ang Lee's directed, but I think it could take the spot for maybe being the best thing that I've seen from him. Mm-hmm. It's really incredible someone like him to bring this story to life so beautifully. And, you know, I will never understand. Well, first of all, I mean, this garnered so many Oscar nominations. It was a huge award darling that season. Like you said, unfortunately, Anne Hathaway was in the shadows of her three co-stars, all of whom got Oscar nominations, and she unfortunately missed that ride and everything. And it's sad because she is very good in the movie, and it is, like you said, a very underrated performance from her. But it's kind of hard to talk about Brokeback Mountain without talking about those other three performances. I mean, Heath Ledger, God rest his soul. I mean, obviously he won an Oscar later on for The Joker and everything. And this may be a very hot take. This may be a very, very hot take. I think this might be my favorite performance that Heath's ever given. I know that's a very hot take. And I know it's very easy to be like, The Joker is his best performance. And you know what? Maybe it is his best performance. It probably is the best acting that he's ever done. But a close second is what he does in Brokeback. And then Jake is exceptional here, too. It's kind of disgusting how this is the only Oscar nomination that Jake has to his name. It's ridiculous how he hasn't been nominated for at least, I would say, maybe like three other Oscars since this. And then Michelle Williams, exceptional work. Truly wonderful stuff from her. But this film took home three Oscars and won score, adapted screenplay, and best director for Ang Lee. But it's, you know, it's still sickening to this day, and I'm sure you could agree with me on this, the fact that this did not win Best Picture when it really should have won Best Picture.
Yeah, I still remember that night, too, and just the utter shock and disbelief that and what it lost to.
Just, I know.
Ugh,
God. Like, you couldn't have picked anything better. Like, if you look at the...
Literally!
If you look at the best pitcher nominees that year, so aside from Brokeback Mountain, you had Capote, Good Night and Good Luck in Munich, and those are three good movies, those three. And then the film that won Best Picture, I will say, I don't think it's the worst film in the world, but for it winning Best Picture of the Oscars, come on. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
That was absolutely awful. Like, literally, you could have picked any one of the other movies and it would have been better.
I know.
Better than Crash.
I know. And I love Jack Nicholson's reaction when he opened the envelope. He was just like, really? He just gave a whole wow, and I'm like, yeah, see, even Jack doesn't like it. Even Jack's like, guys, you fucked up. You fucked up.
Yeah, that was awful. But but Brokeback is just incredible. And like I said, I keep thinking about that scene where Anne Hathaway's on the phone talking about the death of her husband. And I remember how there was, I think she was directed to give multiple takes where in one sense she was sort of lying, and there was another reason why he died, and then another one where no, that she's telling the truth, and going back and forth, it's like you get that sort of indecisiveness and that mystery to her, and it is really effective in her performance.
Right. No, it's so good, and I'm bummed that Ang Lee hasn't made a great film since Life of Pi. Like, that's the last great thing that he's done. I'm waiting for him to make something great again. We don't need this focus on the high frame rate, like 65 frames per second nonsense. Billy Lynn's long halftime walk felt like a chore to sit through. And then Gemini Man, I didn't even bother with that. I didn't even bother. It looked like crap.
Yeah, very, very subpar. And it is a shame. Like, I want Ang Lee to go back to making, like, small scale character studies again, because that's where he flourishes.
I agree. Like, this is great. Sense of Sensibility is great. I just watched The Ice Storm for the first time, and that was really good.
Oh, like, really good.
He's great. And even Life of Pi is really good, too. So, like, he's won two directing Oscars. He has talent in him. I just want him to utilize it a lot better. And hopefully his next film, that's the case, because he is a really exceptional filmmaker when given the right material. And I love that he's someone that doesn't stick to one specific kind of genre. I love that he's done practically everything. He even made a superhero film. And honestly, it's not the worst thing in the world. I kind of have a soft spot for the Eric Bana Hulk movie. I think it's kind of entertaining.
Super creative.
Super creative. Very different from all the comic book movies that we have now, obviously. And so Brokeback is a great pick on your end. I really love that film. I'm bummed that I couldn't put it on my list. And my number two is a criminally underrated film from Anne Hathaway's filmography. I remember walking into this film not sure what to expect, because I had heard the premise and I'm like, that sounds kind of shitty, not gonna lie. But again, it's a different side of Anne Hathaway that we hadn't seen in a while. It was a more comedic side that we hadn't seen from her, and it ended up being one of the more unique films that I saw that year, and one of the coolest premises, and somehow it managed to work as well as it did. So my number two is Colossal. I remember just being so surprised by how much I liked this movie. I went, like, on a whim. I was just very bored one night, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go check out this Colossal movie. I like Anne Hathaway, and I like Jason Sudeikis. It's also important to point out that this was the very first film distributed by Neon, and look at where Neon's gone now. It's incredible to see how they started off with this. I mean, compared to what A24 had as their first film, I mean, this was the superior debut film from the studio, because the first A24 film, The Glimpse Inside Charles Swan III, or whatever it's called, horrendous. I watched that about a year ago, and man, it was a chore to get through. But Colossal was not a colossal to get through at all. It was so much fun. And basically, Anne Hathaway plays a woman struggling with alcoholism, and she is really unstable emotionally, physically, all that stuff. And then she decides to kind of go back to her hometown just for a while. And she reunites with a childhood friend of hers, who's played by Jason Sudeikis, who owns a bar, and he offers her a job, and then they work together. But at the same time that this is all going on, she drinks at night, and then all of a sudden she's in the morning. In the morning, she finds herself stuck in a park, and at the same time that this is happening, I'm trying my best to not spoil everything because this is a much smaller title. There's a giant monster attacking Seoul, and everyone's like, what is going on? And then there appears to be some correlation between this woman and said monster. And that's all I'm going to say. It's a very, very, very unique film. I was very impressed, first of all, by Anne Hathaway's performance. I thought she was fantastic. I think this is one of the best performances that she's ever given. Great comedic timing on her part, but also the movie finds a way of getting really, really intense, especially regarding Jason Sudeikis' character. And at this point in Sudeikis' career, I hadn't seen anything like this from him. I was like, oh, Jason Sudeikis always comes off as the lovable comedy guy, and yet he was a fucking prick in this movie. And you learn why he's the way he is, and you're like, I did not see that coming in the slightest, but it's so good. And just the idea of how this woman and this giant creature monster have some correlation, it's so interesting. And I really loved how when Anne Hathaway signed on to the project, it was pitched to her as Godzilla meets Lost in Translation, which, you know what? Looking back on the movie, it kind of does feel a bit like a Sofia Coppola movie in disguise. And I dig it. I think it's really, really great. It's kind of sad that people don't talk about this movie as much whenever they talk about the films of Anne Hathaway. It is a much smaller title, of course, but it is one that's so uniquely put together. The concept is so fascinating, and it's executed really, really well. It does have some issues tonally in the third act, I would say, but I really was impressed with the film, specifically for Anne Hathaway's performance. I thought she was super entertaining and super delightful and super likable here. And I love, and honestly, I'm not really, bangs are very hard to pull off in my opinion, but she rocks the bangs, especially in this. I really like the look of her in this. I love the movie. I think it's so good. It's so much fun. It's so entertaining, and something that I would love to see more of from Anne Hathaway. So I'm going to assume that this is not your number one. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on Colossal.
Yeah, it's not my number one. It was a very close contender for me, though. It just missed. It was one of the movies that was in contention for me, but I do really like it. And especially for her performance, as once again, like, very committed to this unusual premise, but you're so drawn in by what she's doing in that film. And yeah, it has this very kind of strange concept, but it's also very intriguing at the same time. And yeah, she's playing like a very complicated character, and I am so fascinated by her. And it is a shame that people don't talk about it that much. I remember when it came out, it basically flopped and disappeared, which is a shame. But more people should be talking about it, because I do think it's a really interesting movie with a great performance from her.
Yeah, I really wish more people would talk about it as well. It's really, really wonderful. I think if anyone is interested in watching it, it's probably streaming somewhere for your pleasures and everything. But please, please watch this film. It's just, it's so good. And it's so hard not to like. It's just a very likable film. And yeah, Jason Sudeikis, you know, I remember that before, after I saw this movie, I was kind of terrified to watch Jason Sudeikis in anything. And then he obviously did Ted Lasso, and it's like, oh, you're back to being very likable Jason Sudeikis again, even though I can't get the image of you from Colossal out of my head, because you were a prick in that, you were a fucking scumbag in that, but the power of acting, the power of acting. So Colossal is my number two, and now transition into our number ones. There is a part of me that feels like we have the same number one, and I would be very surprised if the film that I have as my number one isn't even on your list. So I'm very curious to see what you have in the spots. So tell us what your number one favorite Anne Hathaway film of all time is.
My number one is Rachel Getting Married, which is just amazing. I mean, I miss Jonathan Demme every day. He was such a great filmmaker. And this is like everything that I love about movies. It's like this small scale character study, but with these big emotions that the actors and the characters are dealing with. And I think that her performance is just spectacular. Like, I am blown away by it every time I see it. It's just so, it's raw, it's vibrant, but it also feels so grounded and realized at the same time. It is just, it's the best performance of her career. And the movie itself is just also really engaging. And I love the ensemble cast. Rosemary DeWitt, who I think also should have been nominated for that movie. Bill Irwin as their dad is just so heartbreaking. And it's sad. It's a little funny at times as well, but never to the point of distraction. And I just think it's such a strong piece of storytelling. And it is my favorite Anne Hathaway performance. I think she should have won the Oscar for it, personally speaking. And I just think that it's just such a wonderful, beautiful movie that hits me so emotionally hard every time I watch it. And it is, there was no other choice for me for my number one film for Anne Hathaway.
Yep, it's my number one as well. It's the best acting that she's ever done, I think. I really think that it's criminal that she did not win the Oscar for this. I think it's, I'll get into the whole Oscar thing in just a little while, but I think the film is really fantastic. I was a little late to this movie. I watched it about 2 years ago for the first time, and I had heard about this film. Like, I remember when Jonathan Demme died, everyone was talking about, you know, Silence of the Lambs and Philadelphia, arguably probably his two most famous films, because, you know, Silence of the Lambs won him an Academy Award, and then obviously Philadelphia, as well as Silence of the Lambs, garnered its talent at the Oscars. And then there were people that were talking about this little underrated gem from him called Rachel Getting Married, which obviously garnered Anne Hathaway her first Academy Award nomination. She, again, another woman recovering from alcoholism. And I mean, this is a very devastating performance. It's probably the most heartbreaking turn that Anne Hathaway has done. And especially at this point in her career where she, again, had some fun films incorporated throughout. I believe the film that she made prior to this was, I think she had just done Devil Wears Prada, and then she did this right after that. And, you know, it's incredible to see her go from a very fun movie to a downright depressing movie. And you brought up how there are some funny moments sprinkled throughout the movie, but I mean, for at least for me, I was really shaken up by this film and her performance especially. Rosemary DeWitt, I agree, robbed of a nomination. She should have been nominated. Bill Irwin is very good. And in her small amount of screen time, Deborah Winger, the sequence between them two when she goes back to her mother's house and whatever, not going to get into what happens there and everything, but my heart literally dropped. My heart literally dropped in that sequence. And I was like, oh my God, could the movie get any more depressing? And it did after that, involving a car. And I'm like, oh my God, God help me. But no, it's a really incredible film. And Anne Hathaway, my thing is with this particular nomination is that I don't think she had any shot of winning, but the fact that she lost to the far less superior Kate Winslet performance from that year is just so upsetting to me, because, and I love Kate Winslet, she arguably might be my favorite actor, like, ever, but if Kate Winslet were to have won an Oscar that year, it should have been for Revolutionary Road, not The Reader, because if Kate had won the Oscar for Revolutionary Road, I wouldn't have been angry that Anne Hathaway lost the Oscar to Kate Winslet, but the fact that she lost to her win for The Reader, I'm like, come on. Anne Hathaway arguably was maybe my favorite performance of that lineup that year. And funnily enough, Meryl Streep was also nominated, because when wasn't she nominated at that point? But yeah, Rachel Getting Married is fantastic.
She won SAG that year, I remember.
Yeah. It's just so crazy to me that Anne did not win the Oscar for this, because she really should have. Yeah, I love the performance. I just think it's the best acting she's ever done. It's so heartbreaking. And like that poster alone, where it's the close up on her face and she has this very short hair and everything, like, you forget that you're watching Anne Hathaway. You see the character of Kim. You don't see Anne Hathaway there. And there's certain movies that at least for me, there are certain movies that she's been in where I'm like, oh, that's Anne Hathaway playing the character. This is one of those scenarios where I didn't see Anne Hathaway. I saw the character that she was playing. And again, I don't think she's ever been better, which is saying a lot because she won an Oscar a few years later. But this is the best acting she's ever done. I would love for her to go down this route again and do something like this. And Jonathan Demme, I do wish that more people would talk about this film when talking about his films, because yes, Silence of the Lambs is obviously the masterful film that it is. I like Philadelphia a lot. I just watched Stop Making Sense recently for the first time. That movie kicks ass. That movie's awesome. But Rachel Getting Married needs to get more attention when talking about the work of Jonathan Demme. Yeah, it's so sad that he's no longer with us. It'd be interesting to see the films that maybe he would have made now. I mean, we only lost him just 6 years ago, so it hasn't been super long. But it does feel like it's been a long time since we last got a film from him. And yeah, it's a great film, and it showcases the best acting that Anne Hathaway's ever brought to life. And yeah, it's one of also one of the best depictions of a recovering addict that I've seen on screen. Like, nailed it perfectly.
And that's tricky, I find. I feel like a lot of movies about addicts, they get kind of repetitive. Yeah. And the storytelling can get a bit stale for me, but this one finds a way to always keep it engaging, and you're constantly pulled into just sort of the chaos that's happening at the same time with this wedding that's going on. But it just feels so perfect to what the story is at that point as well. And I just think it's such a beautifully heartbreaking movie. It's very sad, but very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure there are a few films that we want to give a shout out to that didn't make the cut. But before we do that, let's recap our list from 5 to 1. So, Josh, what is your list?
My list is number 5 is Serenity. Number 4, The Dark Knight Rises. Number 3 is Interstellar. Number 2, Brokeback Mountain. And number 1, Rachel Getting Married.
And to recap my list, coming in at number 5 is The Intern. Number 4, The Dark Knight Rises. Number 3, The Devil Wears Prada. Number 2, Colossal. And number 1, Rachel Getting Married. So that is over our list. So let's talk about some of the films that didn't make the cut. So, Josh, what are some honorable mentions that you want to give?
Well, you did already mention the Princess Diaries. I think it's sort of hard to talk about her career and not mention those movies that really kind of put her on the map. And, you know, they're just so charming and adorable. And right from the get-go, you could see just how captivating of a screen presence she has just right from those films.
Yeah, Princess Diaries. I mean, I will admit that for a long time I was like, God, this movie's so annoying. It's because my sister would watch it on loop all the time. And then that sequel came out and I'm like, oh my God, enough already. I'm like, enough. But no, they're fun. They're fun. And I mean, some of the films that you put on your list, Brokeback Mountain and then Interstellar and let's see, what else has she done that I've really liked? I have to really think about it.
You know, she's really good in Ocean's 8.
Which one?
She's really good in Ocean's 8.
She is very good in Ocean's 8. She is really good. I wasn't very high on Ocean's 8, but I did like her in it. I liked her in it. You want to talk about a performance where she really goes over the top and embraces the camp? I don't like The Witches, but I liked her in it. I thought she did a really good job in that.
She tried her best.
She did. But I liked her in it. I thought she, although she couldn't come close to what Angelica Houston did in the original film in the 90s. She couldn't even come close. She didn't even come close to that. I really can't think of anything else. I liked Get Smart when I was 10 years old, but I haven't seen it since I was 10 years old. I liked her chemistry with Steve Carell.
I remember she was good in the movie, but and it's a good comedy, but it has had no staying power.
No, it really hasn't. It really hasn't. And a film from recently that I liked. I actually really liked Armageddon Time. I'm a big James Gray fan, and I really enjoyed that one. I also may be biased because when I saw the movie, I sat like 10 feet away from her when she was doing a Q&A afterwards with her, James Gray, and Jeremy Straw. I'm like, I may be a little biased, but I actually really do like that movie. It's a good coming-of-age New York film set in the 80s. It wasn't my favorite look into a filmmaker's childhood that we got from last year, but I liked it. I enjoyed it for what it was. I haven't seen it since. It's a one-time watch for me, but I liked it, and I liked her in it for what she was able to do. I thought she did a good job in it.
Yeah, I was a little mixed on that one personally, but I do remember her performance being pretty strong.
Definitely, definitely. And to talk about some of the films that she has coming out, obviously Eileen is the film that we're doing this episode in honor of. At the time of this recording, it's just coming out in limited release in a few days. I'm so excited to see this. First of all, it was shot here in my state, which is automatically like it spikes up my interest for me for any movie. Whenever it's shot it near my hometown, it's a really incredible thing. Plus, her and Thomas and Mackenzie, that's quite a cool pairing. And the trailer looks kind of good. I thought it looked really, really interesting. And just hearing the places that Anne Hathaway does go in this movie, I'm excited to see what she brings. I've wanted to see this all year. It premiered at Sundance, and I haven't been able to see it. And now it's finally coming out, and I cannot wait to see that. And then she also has a film coming out very soon with the love of my life, Jessica Chastain, called Mother's Instinct, which I another one that I'm not sure what it's about. But Anne Hathaway and Jessica Chastain together, yes, please give it to me now. And then she also has a film coming out called The Idea of You, which I remember when this was announced, and a lot of people were like, oh my God, this is a film inspired by the Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles relationship. And you know what? It kind of gives off those vibes because it's about a single mom in her 40s. Then she has this romance with this big singer in his 20s. And you know what? If it's based on that romance, then so be it. But honestly, though, I kind of want to check it out. It's her and I don't know how to pronounce his name. Nicholas Galit, the guy that was in Red, White, and Royal and Bottoms. I don't know his name. All I know is that his name in Bottoms was Jeff. That's all I know. I don't remember how to pronounce his last name. But
although just the way you said that, it made it sound like one movie, Red, White, and Bottoms.
Red, White, Bottoms.
Yes.
Red, White, Bottoms.
Which would be appropriate for the other movie, yeah.
Yeah, and then she's actually currently, I believe, filming a movie called Mother Mary, which is directed and written by David Lowery. And it follows the relationship of a musician and a fashion designer. So it has Anne Hathaway, Michaela Cole, and Hunter Schafer. And anything that David Lowery puts his name on, I will absolutely watch. I love pretty much everything that he's done. Mm-hmm. Paint the Bison is great. Pete's Dragon is great. A Ghost Story is great. Old Man and the Gun I thought was really good. The Green Knight was one of the best films of 2021. And I will be honest, I only watched about 20 minutes of the Peter Pan movie that he just made, and I shut it off. I couldn't get it. So yeah. Basically, not everything that he's made is great, but most of the stuff that he's made is great. Maybe I'll give the Peter Pan and Wendy movie another chance down the road. But this Mother Mary movie sounds kind of sick. It sounds really, really dope. And it's described as an epic melodrama, so that must mean it's going to be long as fuck. And I can't wait for a long as fuck David Lowery movie. So going through all these films that she has coming out, talk about your anticipation for each of them.
Oh, well, you know, David Lowery is one of my all-time favorite directors, so anything that he says he's about to do, I am 100% there for. So that's the one that I'm really looking forward to. I actually did just see Eileen, like, not too long ago. I had a screener for it, actually, so I just saw it. And I liked it. I didn't love it. There's some weird things that happened towards the end that I don't know if it completely is justified. But once again, you know, she is so committed to that kind of weird performance. Like, it's not very, very strange, but it's idiosyncratic enough to get your attention. But she's really good in the film, for sure. I think you'll dig it.
I'm excited though. I'm excited to watch it. And what about this Jessica Chastain Anne Hathaway collaboration?
Oh, I mean, that's a match made in heaven. Like, sign me up. Give it to me right now. Those are two incredible actors that I cannot wait to see on the screen together.
Oh my God. Yeah, because they didn't have any, they were in Interstellar, but they weren't in Interstellar together. They had no
Yeah,
scenes
no scenes
together.
together.
So yeah, bring it on. And then what about this idea of you where she plays the mother that's attracted to a young sinner?
You know, that one, I'm not 100% sure. Because it's being directed by Michael Showalter, who is like very hit or miss with me.
That's
He seems like a
right.
very odd person. I can't nail down his filmography really that
No,
well.
it's so bizarre. He comes from the Wet Hot American Summer background, then all of a sudden he made the film that won Jessica Chastain an Academy Award, and then he also made The Big Sick, which was also a great. Well, Eyes of Tammy Faye, I'm not super high on. I as much as I love Chastain, I wasn't very high on that film. The Big Sick, I love. I love that movie, but yeah, it's he has like the weirdest filmography that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's hard to know exactly what you're going to get with him, so that's a big question mark, but the premise sounds very interesting, and you put in Anne Hathaway at the center of it, and yeah, I'm intrigued if I'm a little cautious at the same time.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And man, I mean, the main character's name, Hayes Campbell, the lead singer of the famous pop boy band August Moon. Wow, what a creative name. What a creative name. Oh my God. But and I love how when you look at the Wikipedia page, it says that someone described this film as being based on Harry Styles fan fiction. You know what? It probably is. It probably is based on Harry Styles fan fiction.
There's multiple movies already out there that are based on Harry Styles fan fiction, so
There
it's a
are.
cinematic universe now.
Exactly. So, to close out our thoughts on Anne Hathaway, very prolific actor, one of the finest that we have working today. Again, I really just have to echo this one more time. The woman doesn't age at all. She's looked the same since she's been in her 20s. Like I watch Princess Diaries. I see clips of it on like Twitter and Instagram and TikTok, and I'm like, she looks the exact same. She's looked the same for the last 20 plus years. It's incredible. But she also not only has aged beautifully, like as a person, she's aged beautifully, I think, as an actor. I really love seeing the directions that she's gone. I really love seeing the paths that she takes. And I hope that down the road she does another Oscar type movie because you know what? I would love for her to be an Oscar winner for Best Actress. Not that the supporting actress win isn't. Look, we've said it already. Like, the movie, you could say whatever you want about it, and the performance, you could feel however you want to feel about it. But I would like for her to get an Oscar for something else. And, I'm hoping that down the road that could happen. And yeah, I've been a fan for a long time, and I will be a fan until she decides that she doesn't want to act anymore. So, what are your final closing thoughts on Miss Anne Hathaway?
I have always liked her. I will say that even during the dark period, I thought that people were being too mean. And I am, as I said up top, always interested in what she's doing because she's 100% committed to the bit. Even when she hosted the Oscars in that terrible ceremony, she
Oh
did
my
all the
God.
heavy lifting.
She really did. She really did.
So even there, it shows you how much she's committed. And that's what I admire so much about her. Even if the movie's not that great, she's going to do something interesting with the material, and that makes her such a great performer and makes it so exciting to see what she's going to do next.
Yeah, and to pose this final question for you before we close out, who is a filmmaker that you want to see Anne Hathaway work with that she hasn't worked with before?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, you know what? Since I just sort of turned a corner on Sofia Coppola, I would love to see her in that world now.
Yeah, I feel like she would be a great fit for a Sofia Coppola movie. I'm surprised that she hasn't worked with her before. I feel like it's gonna happen at some point. I feel like it's about to happen at some point. For me, I'm gonna go with my favorite filmmaker working today. I'm gonna go with Paul Thomas Anderson. I would love for her to work with PTA. I think that would be a really, really cool pairing. And the PTA is a guy that's done pretty much everything. So you know what? It would be very cool if he did a musical and Anne Hathaway was in it. I feel like Anne Hathaway would kick butt in. I mean, she would kick butt in any movie that he directs, but that would be a really cool one. And then maybe that could be the musical that she wins an Oscar for. We'll pretend that that's the only musical that she wins an Oscar for.
I mean, a PTA musical, that would be great too.
That would be. That'd be really great. And can we get Alana Haim to come back? And then can we get yes. the sisters to come back?
Let them do the score.
Oh my God, please. Like, I'm literally staring at this licorice pizza VHS that someone bought for me, just like caught up with this idea and everything. Oh man, that would be so fun. And speaking of fun, Josh, it's been so fun having you on the podcast today, talk about Anne Hathaway. Thank you so much for coming on with me tonight to talk about the career of Anne Hathaway.
Well, thank you. It was very, very fun. I enjoyed this conversation a lot. As I knew I was going to, because she's such a great actor to talk about.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed the conversation. And I would love for you to tell the listeners where they could find you online. Where can they find your work?
Well, you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at J.R. Parham. And you can find all my work over at Next Best Picture and Awards Watch.
I will put links for that in the description below. Give Josh a follow. He's doing wonderful things all around the Twitter, film, online circuit, sphere. I'm not even speaking proper English. I'm exhausted, guys. Give me a break. It's Tuesday, and I'm ready to go to sleep. And you guys can follow me on all social medias at Brian Sheffield. You guys can subscribe to this podcast on any podcast platform. We have a Twitter and Instagram, so you guys can stay up to date with what's going on in Film Fragments. Let us know your favorite Anne Hathaway films. I'm very curious to hear you guys' list. Thank you guys so much, as always, for listening. Stay tuned for many great episodes coming your way. Lots of great topics to close out the year. We have a lot of great topics, lots of great guests. Stay tuned for all that, everybody. And thank you so much once again for listening to this episode of Film Fragments. And I'll see you guys for the very next episode of Film Fragments. Take care, everybody.